Well, I want to welcome you to our final session on SOCMET training class and those on the tape. As you know, this session is titled ZR Field Specialist. It's course 242 on Wayne's website, vcn.org. Okay, what I thought we'd do, really this course is a review of all the other courses that we've had. So tonight we're just gonna quickly go through not only the content for tonight, but what we covered 2 weeks ago, which was part A of this course, and just highlight a couple of things. Now, if you have your notes from last time, you can turn to them. If not, for those in class, you can look up on the screen. For those on the tape, I suggest you go out to the web, which is public.nvracies.org. Go to the ZR Field Specialist 242A, and you'll find the presentation. So, with that, we're going to jump in the A handout to slide number 6. And the key thing on this slide is to refresh our mind, what is our mission as a field communication specialist? To provide field communication support while acting as the eyes and the ears, or as Wayne says, being a Marine, boots on the ground, for conducting incident intelligence gathering operations. So, and reporting back to our incident commander. Now, in that A course, if we go from slide 6 now to slides 4 to number 8, this is a good refresher of not only the ZRICS structure, but how it mirrors standard ICS. And also, as a refresher, anytime we're dealing with one of the ZRICS forms, and you look at the bottom of the form, there is a form number, and it always starts out ZR1, ZR2, whatever. And so you immediately know that if it's a ZR2, it has to do with operations. And of course, this course is for ZR2F, so that means we're part of operations when we're out in the field. You may recall we also have a ZR2R designation, which is the Incident Command Center, or the EOC position. Again, ZR2R would mean it's also part of operations. So, when you have a chance, those in the class or on the tape, I'd suggest you go back to the very first class that we had. That was the class 031. And you'll see one of the attachments there dealt with a review of ICS. I think it was actually the IS-100 review. So anyway, that having said, more comments about the ZR-1. You may recall that our incident commander, which is Charlie, or one of the alternate radio officers, that would be designated ZR-11. We learned in the prior class ZR-13 is the safety coordinator. It indicates that safety is a very high priority. It's not delegated, down to operations. It's part of command. And that should do it for this slide. Now, moving on, we're going to now take a look at slide 12. And what did we, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parallel structure of our mission versus, for example, the CERT training. And we also talked about and got familiar with the ZR2F position description guide and the ZR2F position task book. Again, those were kind of lengthy documents. I recommend you go back and take a look at the handouts from 2 weeks ago. Okay, moving now to slide 13. We also talked about the position description guide. And we learned as a review that there are certain responsibilities, standardized responsibilities, when we're at the home unit, which would be like our EOC, and then when we're out on the incident. Slide 14. We also talked about why the position task book. And the bottom line to all of these documents is the goal is to increase anticipated predictability of the position, emphasizing have no do, the bottom bullet item. What's anticipated predictability? How did Wayne describe that?
Predictable. How other people do this.
Okay, how other people, and there's more to it. How they view us and what?
That includes all of it. Go on.
And how we perform.
I was going to say an accepted standard of performance.
Yeah, standard of performance, yeah. It's not just looking at us, but
no.
Looking at us and expectation of how professionally we perform, just like the police departments and the fire departments perform.
It's SOP, standard operating procedures.
Mm-hmm. What's this thing have no do? What is a refresher? What's that about?
Have the goodies know what they're all about and do it.
Yeah. To have, okay, that implies preparation. To know, that implies training. And to do, again, is to demonstrate. Not merely take class, but to demonstrate that we really do know how to be more professional. Professional volunteers. Okay, so now we will move quickly forward again. To slide 17, again, this is the course 242A. We're going to slide 17. And this is the have part of it, is going through our deployment checklists, position items, personal items, and radio items. What's the difference between radio items and position items?
I would say position items stay there. The radio items are on the
table. Mm-hmm. Yeah, close, I think. Personal items, that's pretty obvious. It's the things we need, like maybe extra medications if we're on meds. Sunglasses, sunscreen if we're going to be out in the sun, that kind of thing. Radio items is obviously our equipment. Position are things unique to the position we're doing. So if our goal is to gather intelligence in the field, we probably, among other things, should have our stenopad to write down what we're observing.
You see more people going to the, you know, right, you see, yeah, the tablets.
Yeah, you should have a tablet or your cell phone if you have extremely small fingers. Yeah. To hit those little bitty keys. The bottom line is, you know, we want to use these checklists to emphasize to document the things that we need to remember and the things that we don't want to forget. You remember Wayne? Wayne gave an example of a really embarrassing situation he had when mobilized for some fire during the course.
He didn't have his ID or something.
Yeah, he forgot his badge.
Yeah.
A little thing like his ID card or his badge, he forgot. Right. And his instant commander rubbed it in over and over that was not very professional. Okay, moving on to slide 18. In preparing for an incident, obviously there's a list of things that are important there. Knowing your critical infrastructure facilities list, what might that be for us? When you think of the content in our Mitsubishi Racy's manual, what might critical infrastructure facility lists include?
Where our EOCs are.
Where the EOC is? I was thinking that we have topo maps, don't we?
Yeah, in
the book. And we have where the utilities or major gas lines are.
Yeah, you did the gas line after the San Bruno thing, Charlotte was thinking of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else do we have? I can't think of it. It's gas lines, water lines.
Electric.
Yeah, they're all very old and probably outdated.
Power stations, the telephone central offices, maybe.
Water runoff. Flood zones are
like
that.
Yeah. I've been trying to get that updated.
Yeah. So, okay, they're probably dated. On the other hand, given the absence of budgets for just about every municipality, probably that infrastructure hasn't changed drastically. The last thing on slide 18 talks about standardized activation levels. I would draw your attention now to one of the handouts for this course. And it's the one that is labeled slide 38. On the left, it's this one. For the sake of the tape, it's the one that has on the extreme right, it indicates different escalation levels from normal to notification to activation to mobilization and finally recovery. On the left, it says cell level numbers and keywords remain constant across all organizations. What that mean? What across all mutual aid organizations, like Lugan and Nagel, Dana Point, Mission Viejo, and what we're talking about there is SAL 1. Okay, the SAL level numbers: SAL 1, SAL 2, SAL 3, and the keywords, which would be like 4 SAL 0 is normal, SAL 1 is notice. That's what they're talking about. Highly recommend you study this one pager. It's a great summary of what we talked about in the prior courses.